As we promised you, we head over to the MCCSC today, and our guest is the Director of Elementary Education. It's Lily Albright. Lily, good afternoon. How are you?
Hi, Mike. I'm great. How are you?
I'm exhausted already. We haven't even been in school for 2 weeks. Tomorrow's
Tell me about it.
Tomorrow's
Has it only been 2 weeks?
We're not going to do the hours or the days or any. But it's always nice to start on a Wednesday. There's nothing fun about going on Monday and grinding it out. So you get the fun little start there. So last week was the first full week. This week, and then all of a sudden it'll be Labor Day. So it does break up kind of nicely. Is the Director of Elementary Education a new title for you this year?
It sure is. July 1.
Standing.
Yeah. Yeah. So really excited. But as you know, because we've spoken many, many times over the years, I have been in MCCSE for quite a while. This is my 25th year in our school corporation. So the new role for me. Yeah. So super excited about it.
Well, if that's not an advertisement about what's going on in our local school systems, I don't know what isn't, because you've been a principal. You've done a million things. That's over 25 years. That's what happens. Why have you decided to stay here and make this community your own?
Yeah, that's fun when I get an opportunity to talk to new teachers and share with them that, you know, not only did I begin my teaching career in MCCSC, I was a student teacher here in MCCSC. So I've always been in love with this community and a huge advocate of public schools. And public schools really they've made me who I am, not only as a K-12 student, but, you know, I've really grown up here in MCCSC as well, entering the field as a young adult and just kind of growing up here in MCCSC and being supported along the way in my career and able to grow and develop and take on new opportunities and be trusted and supported by my colleagues and my bosses. So it's I'm a big fan of MCCSC, so it's a real treat to be able to lead here and be a part of all this. And it's been fun to have a new perspective and kind of as I'm walking around town or spending time in Bloomington, and anytime I see someone who's of age of a student, I kind of look at them a little differently now, thinking they're one of my people. It's really inspiring and kind of uplifting to know that my work is impacting, or hopefully will impact positively, so many little people in our community, and I'm thrilled to be able to do it. So thanks for asking.
Well, thanks for joining us this afternoon. We always enjoy the insight, because the institutional knowledge you've acquired over the years is great. You've seen a lot of different things. You've seen schools built. You've seen schools consolidated. You've seen you've seen programs come and go, what works and what doesn't work. And I just don't think you can replace that. Experience is the best teacher, but experience also in our community. You've seen us grow up and get through some things and other things.
Yeah.
And now July 1st, that's not a lot. That wasn't very long ago. The joke is always, well, how much water can you really get drinking from a fire hose? But I'm guessing you've absorbed most of it.
Yeah. You become accustomed to that, I think, in these roles. So, I'm a big fan and advocate of having a growth mindset, and I've always been one who've encouraged students to have that. Like, keep in mind, you know, the hard work, that's where the learning takes place, you know, really embrace those mistakes, and boy, it's different when you're living through it. And really, that's your day to day, you know. I'm doing a lot of learning. It's humbling in many ways, but it's also really exciting. And in the field of education, we never have to question the value of our work, and that is it's a real gift for us. So I know what I'm doing has tremendous value, and to be able to support the people in this school community and this broader community is awesome. So,
and the broader community has helped they have shown their thanks to you by giving you referendum dollars. How important was that money this year to get started, where families did not have to worry about getting school supplies, either all together, some together, partially together? Have you seen already that making a difference? Is there a more relaxed feel to the beginning of the school year? Tell me your thoughts on what you've seen so far.
Yeah, it has been a tremendously positive start to the school year, and I think what you mentioned is definitely a part of that. yeah, we've had some amazing opportunities this school year thanks to generosity of our community. And you mentioned one of those, the school supplies. So we were able to universally kind of supply students with things that they're going to need in the classrooms. And it's just been a great equalizer. It's this opportunity for us to level the playing field for so many of our students. And for those who didn't see, there were 23 specific school supplies that we provided. That was just kind of the base level. And then schools ordered some also specific things needed in classrooms. But yeah, that was available to every single MCCSC student. And I'm just really proud and grateful to our community who really has embraced the idea around strong communities requiring strong public schools. And, you know, they showed that in their action in approving that family-friendly referendum. The other piece of that, of course, is expanding pre-K. So, I mean, that's just a game changer in my quarter century now of experience in public education and in K six education, to see the addition of pre-K and an investment in that early learning is just phenomenal. And I think we're going to see great payback from that over the years as these students kind of come up through the ranks. So amazing to be a part of a community that supports public education in this way. Just cannot say enough about how grateful we are to have that support.
Does that eliminate distractions in the classroom when everybody has their stuff, or at least the baseline stuff, where we can just worry about, you know, learning instead of worrying about, oh, can someone borrow this or get this or do this?
Oh, yeah. For sure, yes. You hit the nail on the head. And also, I mean, you can imagine, I know you know as a parent what it's like to load your kids up on that first day. They can hardly get everything, you know, in their arms or in their bags. And, you know, there's none of that beginning of the year sorting and figuring out, you know, what belongs to who and all of that. So, yeah, it definitely led to a much, you know, kind of smoother start for all of us. And throughout the year, I think it'll be great to help us just kind of move steadily through the year with less of that kind of who's what belongs to who.
Yeah, everybody just get in there, start learning.
Grab
a pencil,
right.
Start learning. Lily Albright's our guest, the Director of Elementary Education for the MCCSC. Well, today's a big day. Tomorrow's a big day. There's open houses going on at some point. Oh, geez, don't let my wife hear me say that out loud. I know they're this week at some point, maybe a little bit later in the week. Does that sound right?
Oh, we're going to be busy. Yeah, elementary schools, and we have 14 elementary schools in this community. 11 of them are having open houses this week. So two tonight. So Highland Park and Marlin will be hosting family members and community members tonight from 6 to 7. And then 9 more on Thursday night. So those schedules are available on our website if you want to see specifically your school's open house. But yeah, a lot going on. These open houses are a huge celebration, a time for us to get back together, connect families and school staff, gives families a glimpse at their students' day. Everyone reconnects with the entire school community. So big celebration. We love our open houses.
Absolutely. And once I find what date mine is, I will be just as much in love with that as well. Lily Albright puts up with me annually I've been doing this show since about 2008. So how many years is that? So we've been talking for a while. The Director of Elementary Education, 14 elementary schools times how many? That's a lot. What do we do from July 1st before we open the doors on, I guess it was August 7th this year? Now that the doors are open, part two would be, now we in the first quarter, first semester, what's the role? I know you're learning this all on the fly, so I think it's interesting to hear where you are a month ago to where you are right now.
Yeah, it's a learning process for sure. So I was out of the elementary education world for a couple of years. I did a little short stint over in adult education, which was awesome, and they do amazing work over there. So a quick plug for adult education and MCCSC and all the great work they do there. And I know you're a big fan of that too, Mike. So, but
absolutely.
You can only imagine in 2 years, you wouldn't think much would change, but oh my goodness. So I have some catching up to do, but that's happening quick and in a hurry. And it's just, you know, depending on the time, there are different kind of priorities that pop up. So as much as possible, we're trying to think proactively and make sure schools have what they need and support and supplies as we kind of move through each season. Dr. Winston has made a point of pointing out to all of us that making that concerted effort to remind us that we're here for the students. And she says there are 10,500 reasons to be the best we can be every day. And so we really are trying to keep students at the center. And, you know, as you're leading up into the school year, there are all those logistics to make sure those buses go to the right places and we have all the supplies in place and teaching positions are filled and all that. And then we hit the ground running, really focused on learning and instruction. And so that's where our focus is now. And today we had a special focus over on Hillside. The Templeton Playground opened for students today, so that was a great moment.
Folks, now, that playground is incredibly humongous and large and delightful. The people that go to school there use it throughout the school day, but the public can use it at some special times, so it's just not for Templeton only.
That is right, and we encourage you to check it out. It is an amazing recess for our amazing resource and amazing recess for our Templeton students, but it's available to the community. Yeah, it's 6 to 9 every night. That playground's open for community and also on the weekends, so please come by and check it out. It's awesome. And I took some time out there today to hang out, and what a nice day to be out on the playground, a beautiful day today. And it's just amazing. So these are direct quotes from the students. I knew I'd be speaking to you, so I did some journalism work and got some quotes.
Let me give the forecast real quick when you're getting these ready, because you said it's so nice. It's nicer than that. It's 71 downtown at WGCL. I didn't even open the show with the forecast today. Why? With the same reason I didn't do it yesterday, because you don't need to do one. It's in the 70s all week. Welcome to Los Angeles. I hope you enjoy the ocean and everything else. Okay, so the students, you go
beautiful.
Out there and did you do the fake microphone deal?
No.
Oh, you
really
got to do that.
But really, student quotes, best day ever. And oh my gosh, all these have exclamation points, by the way. And this is awesome. And I didn't think I could do it, literally. You heard that a few times. And it's like followed up by me saying, of course, but you did. You did. Look at what you did. And a lot of woohoo from me. It was really, really cool. So
there. Well, how do you get them back into school after that goes on? that's your first job now.
I know, right? But they're so excited to have that and just on their school grounds. And it gives them an opportunity, of course, to be joyful and move their bodies and get fresh air, but also experience challenge in a new way and build confidence. It's, you know, I really will inspire and empower them, I think. So super excited. And yes, please go out and check it out. It's a great resource to our schools and our community.
That's fantastic. And it's open to the public after 6 o'clock daily, is that right?
That's right.
Okay, great. So just let everybody get out of school. Our elementary school students get out last, so they need a little bit of extra time. So don't run over there at 4 o'clock and wonder why they won't let you in, because their school day is still technically going on, trying to get everybody into the pickup line and bus line home safely. And that's the number,
and of course
number one goal.
Yeah, those after-school
programs.
Groups as well, programs, yeah.
So, yep, 6 o'clock and on, you can do that until the sun goes down, I believe, is how that will work itself out. Well, let's talk. We had some fun talk there. Let's talk some heavy lifting talk. I know third grade, I read, I learn. I can't keep them straight. My son did that recently, and he's like, oh, well, how did I do? How did I do? And I said, well, I don't really care. I said, we have to take these tests. And if you were one extreme or the other, I'd be worried about it. I'm not going to – we could do a whole show on this, and I don't want to take 10 minutes of your time to do it. We have to do it because the state says we have to do it. Were the results here in the MCCSE good the last time they brought them out? How much emphasis do we put on those results? Help maybe some of our new listeners out, Lily, who maybe are just starting here and wondering how this all fits into the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, so we are required to take some assessments. The state requires us to take some assessments, and you named a couple of them there that are big ones in the K-6 world. I read and I learn. And I mean, I think the important thing to remember with these tests is that they are really one data point that we consider when we're thinking about a child's progress and about them as a whole person. So, yeah, it does give us some information about what they know and what they can do. But again, it's just one piece of the puzzle. And, you know, with iRead, literacy is a giant priority for all of our schools. And that data point can sometimes indicate a need for additional support. And, you know, we're really locked into looking at it and using it to inform our instruction, but also having a balance and knowing that, again, it is only one small piece of the whole picture.
Yeah, and the curriculum doesn't teach to the test. You're in third grade, right. Of course you have to read. Of course you have to comprehend.
Right.
Of course you have to write. We get all of that.
That's right.
And we also have learned over the years through years of educational study that not all children learn at the same pace. So to throw them into one pot or one pile, I've just never understood that. But again, they rarely, Lily, rarely ask my opinion on matters of such gravitas. So I get, well, that's fine. And that's okay. But I am pro kid and pro learn and pro help. How are our class sizes doing in elementary education? I know my kids have gone to Summit. It's the third biggest school behind North and South in the corporation. I know sometimes people get worried about that. Where are we? How does that incorporate what we get taught on a daily basis?
Generally, class sizes are good. We've been reviewing our enrollment on a regular basis since we opened our doors and even before, kind of projecting some things. But yeah, class sizes are great. And, you know, we really try to make our resources follow the needs and follow the kids. And if we see a place where we know there are some additional resources needed, you know, we try to shift and respond to that, whether that's using those supports we already have existing in schools or if we need to add some additional support. So, you know, there's not a one-size-fits-all kind of formula here. It's really, as you can imagine, everyone is unique. Each child, each classroom is different, and just trying to keep an eye on that and respond in an efficient manner and in a way that helps people be effective. So, yeah. Overall, though, class sizes are great. We feel good about it.
And I think one last thing to make sure, I believe there's public meetings coming up on this, but those who are interested or a part of the Templeton Child's merger, reformatting, I don't know what's the term I'm not getting right here.
Merger is good. Yeah,
okay.
I think that's the term that the school board used.
Mm-hmm. We're on a timeline for that. Everything's still on schedule for what we heard, I don't know, back in July for that. And then we have a meeting coming up. Is it next Tuesday? It's next Tuesday. That would be the next school board meeting. So we'll worry about that next week. But we have some feedback options for the public, or where are we on that? Maybe I have this all wrong.
Yeah. Nope. You're just right.
We've got a convention center project. We've got a new jail, a justice center project. We've got this project. I'm trying to keep all the plates spinning at once.
Tough to keep up. There are a lot of ways that community can provide input, and that's really where we are in the planning stage at this point, and that is collecting input from people in the community who have an interest in this. We're really in the planning stages. You know, our school board has tasked us with coming up with a robust plan, and it is, of course, we feel really strongly that it is our responsibility to be sure to be prepared for this merger. And so we've had some great conversations with teachers, with staff, with administrators, families, community members. It's been a really positive process at this point. There are many opportunities to engage. One thing I'll point people to is on our website, there is a feedback form if you wanted to provide some feedback digitally. That is available at all times, so that'd be a great place to start. But we really are just working as a collective to ensure a successful transition. So that's been really positive.
Excellent. And again, it's just, we know how folks sometimes don't embrace change. It's just, well, this is a great life learning lesson to do so and see how process works. And as I always tell people, you can always, always put your name on the ballot if you would like to have your voice really heard. So there are multiple options to get involved with this. But I think the greater angle is at sometimes the greater good has to be considered before the my goods, my needs, my everything else.
Yeah.
So, we learn about that and learn about it together. Okay, what's your big challenge now that the school year has started? Do you have, what's on your whiteboard? I can only imagine just about everything. what are you looking most forward to here in the first semester or something that maybe it's been a little bit thicker than you thought it would be?
That's tough.
You can tell me to go fly a kite. You're not required to answer.
Well, I guess I'm adjusting to not being in a building with my students every day.
Oh, so you're on the move. You're the the traveler. You're the
I am out and about.
The
yeah,
roving educator.
Yeah. I am, and so in my new role, of course, I'm supporting leaders in their work with students, and so that's been new and different, but also really positive. So I'm excited about that. I feel like it's an opportunity to use my strengths. And so that always feels good, you know, where you feel like you might be a good match to the position. So I don't know that there's anything in particular, but just
well, that keeps it
really
fresh
helpful.
Though, because you can bop around and swoop in and do preventative medicine and put out some fires, whatever is needed.
So.
Well, that sounds exciting.
I mean, I've been in the seat of school leader for a long time, so I know what I needed as a school leader, and I just hope to provide that so that our school leaders can continue to do the good work they're doing and supporting our students and our community. So it's going to be good.